Well, good morning again. It's good to be with you. Good to have a chance to share together again this morning. Before I begin, I'm going to do a little PSA. So I apologize if that's inappropriate, but I'm going to. My wife and I had the opportunity last night to do something that we very, very rarely do, because I can't stand going to a movie, but we went to one. And I want to tell you a little bit about that movie because I think it's terribly important, okay? The movie's presently playing here in Jasper, and the name of the movie is called Sound of Freedom. Jim Caviezel, who was in Passion of the Christ, is the lead actor in this, but it is a story about child abduction and about slavery worldwide. It is, I would like to tell you that it's one that you will enjoy. I will swear to you that you won't. But it will also be one that will open up your eyes to the reality of one of the biggest issues that we have in our world today. They noted that this abducting and then placing people into slavery, and especially children, and many times for sexual uses, is a $150 billion activity. That's insane. And unfortunately, it still happens under many noses and many times we don't hear. If you get a chance, I encourage you to take the time to go and see this movie. Just as they are trying to do as well, just to raise awareness to this need that is there. If finances are a problem, Angel Studios has already set up multiple free tickets available so that people can come simply because they want the message to go out. It's tremendous. It will be one that will challenge you. It will be one that hopefully will open your eyes. But just as importantly, I think it's one that helps for all of us to continue to raise the awareness that is necessary as we see this ill of our society in so many places that it's an entrenched, including, and unfortunately, most importantly, even here in the United States. Our scripture this morning is from the second chapter of Acts, beginning with the 42nd verse. This is a passage that is, it's kind of wrapping up that first Pentecost and all the things that were going on and everything. This is kind of the finalization of that. It's kind of the compacting of what has been going on from that point until we go a little bit farther forward into some of the additional stories of the actions following. But hear these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and of prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of our Lord. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord. Have thine own way. For you are the potter, and we are your clay. Amen. One of my favorite philosophers in the early years of my life was a man who penned some words to paper and then even put those words to music. Now, I will tell you, I'm not terribly fond of his theology. But then again, that doesn't surprise me much because philosophy and theology sometimes will kind of interact and be on different ends of each other. But here are his words. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us and the world will live as one. John Lennon painted an idyllic picture of life as it could be, a world of peace and harmony, of unity and mutual acceptance. It was a world that also was attempted to be played out in differing ways, in differing places, back in the days of communist Russia, back in these days, in some senses, in communist China. But also in a different place, in the kibbutzim, the smaller groups within the nation of Israel in these days. To what extent or success that has been seen in a world of corruption, greed, and self-centeredness could be debated, and probably rightly so. But this isn't a 20th century concept. The idea of unity, of brotherhood, of common possession has been at least as old as biblical times. Yet it also has been a standard to be measured against, a goal possible with the grace of God. Back when the early church was formed, it was not an exclusive society. Isn't that a surprise? When the early church was formed, now granted, during the ministry of Jesus, it was specific and most intently to the Jews. But after the resurrection, the church was not to be exclusive. It was not to be just a Jewish sect. It was to be for all people in all ways and in all places. This was a church that, in which all who were called upon the name of Christ would be welcomed and accepted. It was a place where free and slave, rich and poor, well-to-do and outcast could come together. There was no hierarchy, with the exception, of course, of the apostles. No place that all weren't welcome. The church, or the way as it was known at that in its early infancy, had a totally different look to it than even the church today. There were no denominational labels, no inclusive or exclusive requirements designed to limit or selectively number those who participated. In that day, and I think this is one of the things that amazed me in those days as well, this was a church that expanded and grew in the midst of persecution. Not only from the Roman leaders, but also from other groups, and one of those groups, especially their Jewish brothers. But it's a group that had some interesting ways when they would meet on the street to know if you were talking with another one who believed. And it was simple. You would, as you met somebody, you would stop, and at the beginning you would just mark a little line in the dust. Just kind of a curved line. And if the other person knew what that was, they would take that curved line and would cover across the bottom, making the sign of a fish. And you knew at that point that you were in the midst of another believer, and yet you could talk freely. The two knew that they were in the presence of a fellow Christian. Back in those early days of the church, there were sleepovers and carry-in dinners, people truly caring about the needs of others, leaders who really were servants, sharing the gospel while also tending to the needs of the group. And probably the most amazing thing was that people from all around wanted to come and see what it was all about. They wanted to see what it was that these people had. There was a fervor, a passion, an evangelical zeal that didn't need spiritual tracts or four spiritual laws or all the little things that we use even in this day. No, they had a true compassion and love for others. And as the scripture says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily. Not by words, but by loving kindness. Not by flyers or outreach programs, but by sincere and loving people reaching out to others. Caring for others in whatever way they needed. Let's look at some of those attributes of that early church. First off, it was a learning church. A church that lived for the Word of God, that believed there was something daily that they could learn to better their walk with Christ. They didn't have this. But they lived this. And they told those stories and they made sure that everybody knew. And in the midst of that time, as they were gathering, they took time to not only understand all the stories, but to put them all together so that they could be kept for all history. They intentionally spent time learning about them, telling others about them, sharing about it, because this was the story that changed history in so many ways. Not only were they not afraid, but they were willing to study as often and as much as they could. It was a church of fellowship that lived the great quality of togetherness. They wanted to come together regularly. They desired the community activity, and they brought others to join them. They didn't just invite, they brought them with them. It was a praying church. All right, now I'm going to get myself in trouble. It was a praying church, a church that knew that they could not meet the demands of the world on their own strength. But they also knew that they didn't need to, because they knew that as they went into a time with God, they would be filled and empowered and ready and readied to be able to go out into the world. How often are we willing, before we engage, to stop and say, Lord, here I am, send me? How often are we willing in those days to say, here I am, Lord, speak through me? How often are we willing to live, I am yours, send me where you wish? It was a church that was reverent. A church who knew that the whole world was a temple of the living God. And they celebrated God in all and everything and everywhere around and all that they did and all that they had opportunity to share. It was a place where things happened, where signs and miracles were prevalent. And they knew that if they expected great things from God and attempted great things for God, that great things would happen. How much more would happen today? We believed God, and we believed that together we could make it happen. It was a place of sharing. They had an intense feeling of responsibility for each other. They gave to everyone as had need. It was a worshiping church. They never forgot to visit God's house. And it says, every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They continued in the process, in the importance of gathering for worship, but also the importance of just plain worship in all that they did and all that they lived.
And believe it or not, it was a happy church. It was a church filled with people who were excited about not only being together, but excited about the opportunities that God was continuing to place before them. It was a place that even in the face of persecution and ridicule, they were able to continue to have a sense of God's joy within them. Now think about it. Have you ever seen a gloomy Christian? For you see, that's a contradiction in terms. For those of us who have the Spirit of God upon us, it doesn't happen. I used to, back in the days, we would, some of the churches that I had served before, one of the choruses that we used to sing, similar to the one that we had this morning, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Just a very simple little one. I'm getting nods. You know which one I'm talking about. But I could not tell you how many times I would stand in front of a congregation and watch them sing, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will. And I'd stop the song. I'd just flat stop the song. I said, really? I mean, really? And they'd laugh at me like you guys are now, and that's fine. And then we go on. But the point was made. That joy of the Lord. It's, you know, that joy that is within us is greater than anything that's anywhere around, because we have the answer. We know the answer. We know exactly what it is and who it is that saved this soul. And we're more than willing to tell anybody about it who's willing to listen. Finally, it was a church where people couldn't accept, where others couldn't stop but like. Couldn't help but liking the people who were a part of it. For they had a contagious, friendly, likable spirit. Felt like you were always with your best friends. This was the church that Christ envisioned, Christ ordained. Imagine. Now, let's not just imagine, but let's find ways to make it a reality. It's not time to look backward, to remember and long for all the things where we have been. It's not time to look downward, navel-gazing at ourselves and contemplating all the woe of this day. No, it is time to look forward to make a difference, not for us, but for God. When the living Christ sets us free, we are able to participate in His eternal promise, His eternal purpose, that we all become one in and through Him. The Church of Jesus Christ today needs to catch that fever. A fever, a passion for the message of Christ, and to take that to a world that is hell-bent on destruction and remind them there is a better way. What today's church needs is a thoroughly convicted, soundly converted, Holy Spirit-filled believers that will love the world of Christ. Now, do you know why the early church was as successful as they were? Read Acts, and I've been preaching a lot of it lately, but it's kind of where God keeps leading me back to. But read Acts and notice what happens almost at every time. The first day, Pentecost, what happened? 3,000 people were saved. What happens as it goes on and on and on? More and more and more and more people are being caught by this Spirit and are accepting this promise. Do you know why the church was so successful? Was it because of tremendous preaching? Sound doctrine? Amazing missional outreach? No. What they really had was a contagious spirit that people wanted to be a part of. Imagine the possibilities
that are available when God's will is in charge. Imagine what we can do with and through the presence of God. Dwight L. Moody, one of the great preachers of the early 20th century, was asked about his success as a preacher. And Moody was just absolutely amazing in so many ways and was able to make such a difference in so many lives. But when asked about his success, he said very simply, he says, it's not my preaching, but rather it's my faith. For every time I stand to preach, the Spirit of God flames within me. And people come from miles around just to watch me burn. Imagine what could happen if our flames burned that brightly. Just imagine. But more importantly, let's make it happen. Not for us, but for God. Amen.
Thank you.
till he returns or calls me home. Here in the cross and love of Christ I stand. Hear these words of benediction. Go forth today and be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Go with God and make a difference in his world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.